Good morning. So good to see all of you. And I will echo what Corey said. So great to see. We almost need a bigger stage for all the youth that want to play and lead us in worship. How good is that? Thank you, youth and young adults that were able to lead us that way. It's a privilege that you're able to lead us. So thank you. How many of you, if we're honest, probably have a hard time praying? Don't have to raise your hand, but I'm going to. There's probably some of us that say it's not actually that hard to pray because there's been a discipline over time that and you're doing it daily. And so today, we're starting our series, a new series, Seven Spiritual Practices for the Ordinary Everyday. And when we talk about spiritual practices, they actually have to become a part of the everyday ordinary as well. And so we're hoping that when we talk about these things, it's not just something way up in the sky, but it's something that actually can impact us here and now. And so today, we're looking at the concept of prayer and the practice of prayer. So when you think about praying, some of us will want to be early risers. Anyone early risers there? I'm putting my hand up, but I'm not. Sometimes. Today I was. Every Sunday I am. late night bugs. You got some late night people here? Yeah? How many of you have you have your full mind with you in the afternoon? No. Oh, just a few? Okay, good. How about in the morning? Yeah. As we look at this prayer, we're going to see that the disciples, who were the followers of Jesus, students of Jesus, they were watching and they were around Jesus for years, and they're watching, and then all of a sudden they were seeing this, and they asked Jesus a question, and that's gonna bring us to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. But let me pray before we start speaking about prayer. God, thank you for who you are. And that you have revealed to us this mystery of who you are in the person of Jesus. Thank you that Luke has recorded these disciples that were in real time with you of asking the question, teach us to pray. So I pray that we would have that posture to maybe learn to pray. Even just a little bit more today, something that we would look at today would catch our attention, stir our imagination, and see that you're wanting us to spend some time during our day to form us through the practice of prayer. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I usually am reading from the NLT or the NIV or the NRSV, but today I will be reading through with the Message. And as I read it, sometimes when we read, we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer in that Luke records, which is a little bit different than Matthew's. But why do I look at the Message? I study in the NIV and but the Message, sometimes if I hear something again and again, I need something to maybe shake it a bit. And this, to me, was helpful, and I hope it's helpful for us. So let's read Luke 11, verses 1 to 13 from the Message. One day he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, Master, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. So he said, when you pray, say, Father, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. Then he said, imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. An old friend traveling through just showed up, and I don't have anything on hand. The friend answers from his bed, don't bother me. The door's locked. My children are all down for night. I can't get up to give you anything. But let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground, knocking and waking all the neighbors, he'll finally get up and get you whatever you need. Here's what I'm saying. Ask and you'll get. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, you don't scare him with a live snake on his plate. Well, some of us don't, maybe. If your little girl asks for an egg, you don't trick her with a spider. As bad as you are, you won't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him? God's word today for us. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, the first part I want to concentrate on here, Father, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. I'm going to run through some points, and then I'm hoping that we're going to spend some time actually praying. The first point I want to make here is that prayer is something we learn. Prayer is something we learn. What good news is that? That's good news for someone like me, that sometimes my prayer looks very sporadic during the year, during the day, during the month. Prayer can be something that can be learned. Lord, teach us to pray. We need to learn how to pray. I need to learn how to pray. I need to learn how to pray. I like the fact that we can be learners because then we can be free to question, maybe experiment, even fail, because we're learning. So this idea of learning, I want to give us, let's start there on this, okay? So we're not going to have someone that has been, you know, I don't know, when you think of someone that prays all the time, who gets inspired when you, maybe you knew a grandmother or a grandfather, or you've seen someone that you've known for a while and you know that this person prays all the time. You get kind of inspired by it, right? But you can also go, I don't know if I can ever do that. Life is full. I got the kids. Someone's waking me up in the morning. I got responsibilities. How does this work? I love the fact that we can learn how to pray. So let's be learners this morning. And I'm speaking to myself in the midst of this with you, okay? Let's be learners. We need to understand that the work of prayer involves a learning process, and it saves us from arrogantly dismissing it maybe as false. Maybe it's just unreal too. It just doesn't, can prayer actually change things? Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of Discipline, says this: God always meets us where we're at. and slowly moves us along into deeper things. So, would we be willing to be met where we're at today, tomorrow, the next day? And would God be able to, in his grace, I would also say his sovereignty, is that he's moving us along into deeper things. So, prayer is something we learn. Two, prayer changes us. This prayer in particular changes us. Father, reveal who you are. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Mayal was looking at my notes. Sometimes the kids grab my notes, and Elliot basically edits it beforehand. I've mentioned that before. He didn't this time, but Mayal was. And she goes, Kevin, Dad, look, it says Halloween. I was like, no, it's not like Halloween or Halloween. So I'm like trying to explain what it is to her, like in the 2 seconds. And the thing, I was like, well, we'll talk about it later. But it means this. It means reveal who you are. Hallowed. God's name is holy. It's so different. It's so other. But here, I like how the message can get us thinking about it. Reveal who you are. Father, reveal who you are. Remember, Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. He says, when you pray, say this. Father, reveal who you are. I will quote Richard Foster again here. He says, in prayer, we begin to think God's thoughts after him, to desire the things he desires, to love the things he loves. Progressively, we are taught to see things from his point of view. I think this is what Jesus is coming to when he's saying, when you pray, pray like this. Father, reveal who you are. Who is this God? Who is God? He is so far out of reach sometimes, we think. God is so huge, so amazing. But guess what? He's revealed himself to us. How? In the person of Jesus. So we do have this understanding of who God is. God, who is this person we're praying to? Now, I mentioned last week, and I keep saying that Paul's going to preach on this, the Trinity. So we have this understanding of the Trinity, the triune God that is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're in relationship. And so God is so much bigger and wider for us to understand. But he has said to us, what we just celebrated Christmas, I need you to understand what this looks like, who I am. So I'm going to send your Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to send my Son, Jesus Christ, so you understand fully who I am. Colossians 1:19 says, God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in who? Him, Jesus Christ. So if you want to see God, we look to Jesus. Now, interesting enough, Jesus here is now praying, Father, reveal who you are. But he's teaching his disciples. So he might be saying, actually, when you pray, say, Father, reveal who you are. The fullness of the revelation of who God is in Jesus. So he now becomes our lens, how we understand who God is and what he's doing in the world. Jesus' life teachings show us who God is. So, let me just ask a question here. This is audience participation. If that's the reality of who God is, in the person of Jesus, who is this God we're praying to? What are some of the characteristics of who this God is? Call him out. Pardon? Right, okay. A bit mystical that we don't understand, yet he's revealed himself in Jesus. Yes? So, loving. Gracious. Right. What are the characteristics of Jesus? If he's the full revelation of who God is, what are the characteristics of Jesus? Those of you that are pardon? Forgiving. That's the one of the core things that we're going to see later on, right? So we have a God who's loving, who's forgiving, who's gracious. What else? He's a teacher, right? And we're saying, yeah, we want to learn to pray. What does this mean? What else? Generous. Ah, yeah. generous. Powerful. Yeah, a powerful that doesn't overlord, but a powerful that actually went to the cross and died. Whoa. Merciful, yeah. What are their words? Compassionate, yes. Someone else said something? Patient, yes. Oh, that's good news for me. Oh my goodness, ask Sharon. Yes. Right. He's passionate. Right? And we're going to look at a little bit of what that is about later. So, who's this God we're praying to? Reveal who you are. I want to encourage us, if you're praying this prayer, God, Father, reveal who you are. Maybe it's a time in your prayer to say, Jesus, remind me who you are again. Because I forget so often. Jesus reminds his disciples again over and over and over again who he is. And one of the words that he's using here is Father. And one of the words that he uses later in Luke, just a couple of chapters later, Jesus talks about the parable of the loving father, the scandalous father maybe, or the parable of the son, right? Where there's this posture of the father, our father, reveal who you are. The father's what? The father's posture towards the son is what? You are my son. Yeah. As the son had to come back. And when the son and the father was, this is his posture. So this is the posture. We can think about this. What is it? How does the scripture, particularly who Jesus is, teach us who God is as we pray this prayer? I hope this would catch our attention as we pray. So we learn to pray by understanding who God is. Three. I could say more there, but three. Prayer, and I would say particularly this prayer, engages us with what God is doing. Here. Set the world right. And I like how Eugene Peterson adds the exclamation mark. Set the world right. What a great prayer to pray. What a great prayer to pray. What does the world right look like with God's dominion? With God leading and God in charge? In the NIV, it says, let your kingdom come. Matthew would add in his understanding when he heard Jesus pray, he said, let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to try to stay in Luke as much as possible, but we can't, I think in our heads, we hear, we're going, well, Luke, you got to say something more here. No, set the world right. Let your kingdom come. Luke keeps a bit shorter. Matthew says, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So whatever's happening there, would there be a reality of it happening here? So, for instance, I'm going to put myself on the spot a little bit. I hope it's okay. I'm trying to learn how do we pray in this way? Because then we can be praying, would you set it right? And we don't know if this will happen, but Corey and Aaron, Aliana has broken, or we're trying to figure that out, right? We're not sure if she broke her elbow or thought it maybe even a wrist or whatever. And I just said, Aliana, can I pray for you? She's like, yeah, sure. I was like, okay, pray. And all I said, God, would you just set her arm right? Would you set it right to the way it's supposed to be? And we're to pray that prayer, even something like that. But we can also be praying the prayer, God, would you set this right in this circumstance? Let's talk a little bit about that. Daryl Johnson says that we bring heaven down as we pray, let your kingdom come. We say we want to see this on earth as we live as it is in heaven. We live in the in-between, the now and the not yet. We live the present as those of us that are Jesus followers, present that Jesus is our Lord, that Jesus is our King. He's our leader. This is the one that we take our marching orders from. I know we're not in the... I'm trying to... How do we best understand? Because we don't really understand kingship. But what does it mean that Jesus would be our leader and our Lord and our King? What does that look like? So we look and we follow Jesus and we see what he's doing in the Gospels and we see how the disciples probably get it wrong sometimes, and yet we see the times where they get it really right, where they're saying, this is what it looks to make set the world right. I'd like you to call out some of those things as well now. What does it look like to set the world right? What does it look like, maybe socially, maybe even physically? What does it look like that God's kingdom would come here on earth as it is in heaven? This might be a bit more of a stretch for some of us. What does that look like? Pardon? Peace. I wonder if that's why we're supposed to be called to be peacemakers. Healthy marriages, right? As we say, healthy marriages, that's I like the way you use healthy marriages, because healthy marriages can involve, you know, a bit of conflict, as long as you're dealing with it healthily, if that's a word. But we're working through that, yeah. Justice for the marginalized. I'm going to jump out of here for a minute. I just watched the movie for the second time. One time I watched this movie, The Greatest Showman on Earth. Anyone, have you seen that? Who was able to watch it and not cry? We watched it again this weekend. And it just caught me again, where there is this aspect of community that the misfits, the oddities, were able to find in that community. And there is something, now it's not totally, this isn't exactly, obviously all these analogies break down, but there's something beautiful that happened in that community where everyone was able to come together and on the same playing field. But then you had the guy who was leading it struggling with that. Can this actually happen? Can these people actually be with the Carlyles? Can this happen? And I think the church is a beautiful place for that. It has all kinds of people from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of social status, that we come together and we say, this is what we want it to look like. We want to see this not just in our own community, but outside of it, that there's this justice for the marginalized. When people come, we say, we want you to be a part of this community as well. And so I was weeping again. I was holding it back a bit more because our kids were there. I don't know why I did that, but they see me cry a lot anyway. In that way, I hold my usually have my heart on my sleeve. But that was a good catch again for me. Going, there's a little bit of the kingdom represented here. And I wonder if we can do that here as well. What else does it look like to set things right? Respect for Earth. Oh, thank you, Tony. Yeah. Guess what? Kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's not just some separation. There's actually something here that we're to be stewards of, right? What else? Yeah. Loving our neighbor as ourself. And someone said healing as well. Yeah. So these are all, this is all under set things right. We have over here, and I want to explain this a little bit more about, this is an opportunity I could explain. So we have over here some candles. And some of us might go, what in the world? Why do you have candles? And I get that. My church, we didn't grow up with candles. But for me, I've shared this story before. I want to explain do you know this table, what came from what Debbie Schmidt wanted to see happen here. If you don't know who Debbie is on our leadership team, taking a sabbatical right now. Love you, Debbie, as you're listening. And she's walking through cancer diagnosis right now and walking through all that uncertainties. Well, this happened before she was diagnosed with cancer. And she goes, I just think we need to have some sort of way that we can get our body to match our head. And one of the ways that I can do it is maybe could we light some candles and we can call them prayers of intention when you're going and praying for somebody. Sometimes I go, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you and don't worry about it. I have a friend I've told you about where maybe I'm having a bad week or some terrible things are happening and I send him a note and he's like, I'm lighting a candle for you. I'm like, oh, I know what that means. Because in his tradition, he lights a candle as he prays for somebody. And so last week, when Ajay was leading worship, and he said, we want to pray, and he read Lamentations. He said, we want to pray for people in our community. Well, that motivated me to get up and light a candle of intention, saying, God, would you reveal yourself and show yourself, and would you create and have restore your shalom back in the bones of my friend, Debbie Schmidt. I'm not going to tell you all the time, but that's why I came up here last week to pray for Debbie. Now, we don't want to have a show, like, it's not like, don't feel bad if you don't think you can come up here and light this. There's only so many candles anyway. But that's why we have it here, so we can get us thinking and praying. Set the world right. Next, 4, prayer keeps us thankful. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Now, this is totally, Eugene Peterson's using the vernacular here, right? Here it would say, give us our daily bread. This keeps us thankful for what we have, what we've worked for, and the gift of work that we can have, that we have this income, these resources to be able to eat. This also reminds us that I'm to be thankful for the basic things in my life. And that can form my prayers for us as well. Here's a little pastor. Can I give you a pastor's insight? So, one of the ways I want to do that, I want to pray for a meal every day, right? And so, I don't know if you're like me, but kids are busy. We eat supper always together. Always together. And any other thing we can, we're able to do that. That's good. So when we come to the supper table, I want, like, let's be thankful. And then, has this ever happened to you? Come, and then people are picking at stuff, and they're grabbing this, and they're filling their face, and they're doing this, and I'm like going, brrr. And I remember I caught myself, this is the tension of, like, praying, but praying badly. I'm like, Mayel, would you put down that piece of bread and we're going to pray and be thankful for this? Oh, yeah, okay. God, Father, reveal who you are, generous, patient, kind, peaceful. Okay, okay, but just the way, just in the intent to pray, caught me and going, I think I need to be a bit more generous here. I think I mean we need a bit more patient here. So now how do we work it out through our family that this is something that we do every day? And how do I talk to them when they're super, super hungry? And this prayer shapes, how does it shape my living? It forms us. We're not just praying prayers. It's actually forming us in what we're able to do. How does this shape the use of my resources? Father, thank you. This is a gift. It's a gift that I actually can work. It's a gift that I can provide meals for my family. This is so good. Thank you. It's a gift. Oh, if it's a gift, then how can I give this gift to other people as well? How does this work? And many of us, this is what we do in different ways. One way is the church. We say, let's share resources so that the kingdom of God would be proclaimed, so that the kingdom of God would come, so that we would have a stage full of youth that are going to serve us. Father, thank you for the simple things. Five, prayer helps us live our faith congruently. What does that mean? Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Prayer helps us live our faith congruently. If we're praying this prayer, right, and we're letting it sit in us, Father, forgive me my sins as I'm forgiving others. Okay, first of all, yes, God, thank you for the gift of forgiveness that you've given me. Thank you so much. It's going to then turn me, thanking God, seeing what God's given me, it's going to turn me horizontally to the people that are around me. Now, how do I live that way? How do I set things right, in a sense, and live congruently in the midst of my life as a follower of Jesus? How beautiful is that? Jesus was up to something when he said, pray like this. Can you tell? It's covering everything. I'm forgiven, therefore I'm a minister. I'm an ambassador of this forgiveness that God's given me. Would we be reminded of that? Oh yeah, I'm a sinner too. Oh, and you are. So that means I need to forgive you, not just you are. Sorry, Natalie, not you, but it's, oh, you are too. Okay, can we have gracious space? Because Jesus is at the center of our community. Six, which is the last, we're not going to read all of that, but the last part of it, God's posture in prayer. In the ancient Middle East, this audience here, we're going to jump to we've already read this, so if I can just allude to it, and you can jump to verse 13, the next slide. And so there's this story about this guy. So in the middle of prayer, there's this story that Jesus says, hey, suppose people came and showed up at your door late at night, which might have happened because why would you travel during the hot days? You'd travel during the evening, and then you'd show up at someone's house, and they had their hospitality, you could say laws, but their hospitality culture was unreal. And so here, Jesus is telling a story. Okay, suppose this guy shows up at your house, and he didn't have anything. First of all, the audience would be laughing out loud already. What? Like, and you're not going to feed him? What? No, you got to go feed him, man, because if you don't, we're all going to talk about you. And you're not doing things right in the community, right? And then he says, okay, let's say you then go to your neighbor, and your neighbor's like, going, hey, leave me alone, man. I'm not. No, it's the neighbor's obligation to actually do that. So it's put right in the middle to kind of juxtapose who God is and what it looks like in our culture, and saying God is doing something way more radical than that. So it's not saying who God is. It's saying God is so different than this grumpy, cranky neighbor, right? Luke is contrasting the father with the cranky neighbor here. If the cranky neighbor who has turned in for night, who wishes you would go away, who does his best to ignore you, if such a neighbor finally rouses from his bed and gives you what you need, then how much more will God respond and want to give what you're asking for? That comes with some tension, I know. But that's what is going on here in this passage. Philip Yancey, the Christian Bob Ross, says this. If you don't know it, you can Google his picture. It's hilarious. He says this: we should pray like a salesman with one foot wedged in the door opening, like a wrestler who has his opponent in a headlock and who won't let go. think that's probably my biggest tension I find in my life, praying like this. But Jesus is saying, strive on, don't give up, raise your voice. Like a shameless neighbor in the middle of the night, keep pounding on the door. So we're going to look at the structure of this prayer, and then we're going to pray. The structure of this prayer that Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. It doesn't say you'd have to use these exact same words, because you can't, because he spoke them in Aramaic, okay? And it was written in Greek, and then people translated it. And here we have, what we're going to look at is Eugene Peterson's translation, although some people might argue that. But here we are. When you pray, say, Father, reveal who you are. So I'm going to take some time to pray. I just have a few notes here, what the structure of it is. And I want to say, and I'm going to have a pause. I might pray for a little bit. And I want to see if, I know this isn't for everyone, but if some of you are able to pray for these needs, even audibly, there is a great encouragement that we can hear from other people in this way. There's no expectation on that, though. Okay, we don't have to be praying, but I want us to be able to sit in this, and hopefully this will be kind of give us a structure of how to pray, and not just use these words that are so foreign and written 2,000 years ago, but something that can be relevant for me today. Okay, so I'm gonna as we do this. I'll pray the prayer, and then I'm going to just kind of riff a little bit in a prayer, praying for this. And then I'm going to leave a pause. And if anyone wants to pray during that time, like, Father, who reveal who you are, feel free. Then, either after, like, 30 minutes of you praying, or awkward silence, then I'm going to move to the next one, set the world right. And I'm going to riff on a few things to pray about setting the world right, and I'm going to leave it open for you to pray, set the world right. And then we'll go to the next one. Does that make sense? So let's pray. Father, the one who calls us your children, reveal who you are. Thank you for revealing who you are in the person of Jesus. Thank you that we have a tangible understanding now of what that might look like for us as humanity. Teach me to be a person that is as patient as Jesus. If anyone would want to add to this, reveal who you are, go ahead. God, would you set the world right? Would you start in me, in my own life? And God, you know the people in my own life that I need to maybe talk to help set it right. Would you be with the friend that I spoke with last week that is walking through a really hard time? Would you set the world right in their lives? Would you set the world right in Debbie Schmidt's life? That shalom would go deep into her bones. The kind of peace, the kind of shalom that you want to have here on earth as it is in heaven. anyone wants to speak to setting the world right or praying, go ahead. God, keep us thankful. Thanks for keeping us alive with 3 square meals or whatever we're able to eat this day. God, would you allow me to be more generous so that somehow I'm able to help those that are not able to or that don't have the 3 square meals a day. There's a few people want to pray in that. Go ahead. Yeah. And God, help us align our lives and that it would be congruent with following you. And thank you for the forgiveness you've given us. Keep us forgiven with you and keep us forgiving others. God, this is a tricky one. And you know I struggle with this one. But would you help me have a posture that you would have towards me? Would you help me understand the love that you have for me and for others? If there's anyone who wants to tackle that tricky one, corporately, feel free. Good word. And we end with a phrase that I didn't have time to go through, but we say, keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the darkness. Deliver us, God. Allow us to be able to see ways out and see that you're leading us in that. God, teach us to pray this week. We ask you in your name, amen.